I'm joined today by Neil Kennedy from the Cooked and Bombed Comedy Forum and comedychat.co.uk podcast and blog, and we're going to be talking about celebrity bullying on Twitter. Neil, hello.
Hello, nice to meet you, Tom.
So, bullying on Twitter, I mean, why do you think it's a problem, and can you give us a bit of backstory as to how you got into it?
Well, I think bullying is always a problem, no matter where it occurs, and I think it's something that should be tackled, and people should be trying to shine a light on it. And what we hear a lot of, about these days in the media is so-called bullying by trolls and haters. And what we don't really hear is that celebrities can be bullies as well, and what they can do is use their enormous social networking clout to target people who criticize them or annoy them in some way. And I have watched this for the last couple of years that I've been on Twitter, and I've observed this happening, and I'm just sick of it. It got to a very serious crux. It got to a very serious sort of situation last week where someone seemed to try to commit suicide because of being the target of one of these campaigns. And I just felt that I had to speak out about it and try and make people aware of the consequences of what they were doing.
So in your opinion, who were the worst offenders?
Well, the most frequent offender, certainly, I would say, is Ricky Gervais, who does it constantly. And that's no surprise because I think his comedy is associated with a type of bullying. And, I mean, frequently you can see that. He likes to really sort of dig down at people that are beneath him, apart from something like the Golden Globes, which I, you know, agree with. I always think comedy should be punching up. I think it has a responsibility to hold the powerful to account. I don't think comedians should be picking on those who are less able to defend themselves. And I think that is something that can be transferred to something like Twitter. It should be the same thing. They shouldn't be picking on people that really are not able to defend themselves. And so I would say Ricky Gervais does it frequently. Almost every day he does it, I've seen on Twitter. And recently, I would say Noel Fielding as well. He's been pretty obnoxious. Simon Pegg has done it in the past. That's covered in the blog, but he's subsequently apologized for it, and very graciously so. So I think he's reformed there. I've heard other stuff about people like Graham Linehan and Alan Davies. And I mean, everyone has a story. Everyone has a story about, you know, these comedians doing this. And not just comedians, but people in the wider sort of celebrity world.
I just wanted to touch a bit more on the on Noel Fielding in particular, because I have heard that, as you said earlier, that there was a suicide attempt linked to his actions. So could you expand a little bit more on that, please?
Yeah. So the process, basically, what happens is it's a celebrity gets criticized, perhaps, in some way. In this case, they were criticized for the use of ableist language. Noel Fielding tweeted out to his followers the word retard. And someone took him up on this. They weren't polite about it. Now, we have to appreciate that there are faults on both sides here, because usually in these arguments, the celebrities will pick just to defend the celebrities, right? But the problem is that there are faults on both sides. And I'm not saying that celebrities should have to take this kind of abuse. I'm saying that, you know, everyone should try and be polite. So Noel Fielding responded in a very sort of hurt manner to this woman. He was already annoyed at a confrontation with someone else. And the problem then is other people saw that he was fighting with her, and then they sort of jumped on, and then he started retweeting those comments. And what that does is it brings the fight to the attention of all of his followers. And that's really the sort of tactic that we're talking about here. We're talking about people with large follower bases, making their users aware of what's going on, making their users aware that they're being attacked. They do this either by just retweeting the criticism or by referring to it. And sometimes, as Noel Fielding did with a Times critic in April, he will specifically ask people to go and attack them. And Ricky Gervais does that a lot as well. But they don't actually have to explicitly ask their followers to go and attack their critics. Just the act of retweeting stuff will be enough to show a sort of fervent and rabid fan base that, you know, they can do something about this. They can sort of bond with the comedian by going and attacking this person and sort of getting – they get affirmation out of it, really, from the celebrity. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about.
So do you think some celebrities don't realize what they're doing?
I think definitely. They don't consider the responsibility that they have. They don't consider the consequences. And what we just talked about was the most horrific consequence, because this woman tried to commit suicide because she was the target of some bullying. And I don't think that's, you know, necessarily always going to happen. That's something. I mean, suicide is a personal choice. You can't lay all the blame on someone like Noel Fielding. That's something that someone does. But this is what this is the end result of bullying. This is what can happen. We know that. We know this over and over again, that people who are kids that are bullied on Facebook can go and commit suicide. And my concern is that these are people, people like Noel Fielding, are highly respected and put on a pedestal by their fans. And he is endorsing bullying to young children. And I find that horrendous, absolutely horrendous.
Do you think that we're mostly dealing with trolls here?
My problem with the term troll is that, and haters as well now, is that it's the parameters for it have become so wide that it basically just means anyone who disagrees with you. And or it can mean anyone who criticizes a celebrity, anyone who criticizes a TV show, anyone who's prepared to stand up for themselves, anyone who argues in a robust manner. So undoubtedly, some of these people are classically trolls and they're trying to evoke an emotional response. So you've got to ask them, therefore, why are they being given an emotional response? They should be ignored and they shouldn't be given what they want. That's the most effective way to respond, is to just ignore this kind of thing.
Just so we're clear, when we say troll, we mean someone who is deliberately trying to stir up a bit of controversy for themselves, to get attention for themselves.
Okay, if that's what a troll is, then they shouldn't be given that. They shouldn't be pandered to. That's the most effective way of dealing with them. You disarm them by being charming or by ignoring them. That's classically the way you do it. And that's what have they got? It makes some people angrier when you meet irritation with charm and goodwill, but that's good. That's the only thing you can do. Like, you do have a responsibility. We're dealing with asymmetrical power bases here. We're dealing with people who have a very different social standing, and so these trolls, they don't have many followers classically. If you look at a troll's account, they're going to have maybe 60 to 200, 300 followers. They have no influence. Whereas the comedian, a comedian like Ricky Gervais, has 3 million followers. A comedian like Noel Fielding has 340,000 followers. And they can do a lot more damage. So in the same way that if a child says something rude to you, you don't punch him in the face, there is that same responsibility on these people who have a far greater amount of power, that they should act responsibly.
In your experience, are there any celebrities who are particularly good at dealing with trolls?
Yeah, I've noticed. I pick out Charlie Brooker in the blog because I've noticed this for a while now. He knows that he has a lot of fans. I mean, I think he's 500,000 followers, and a lot of those fans are very attached to him. And because you know what fandom's like, you know, and especially with a network like Twitter, where you can sort of feel that you're friends with these people just because maybe they reply to you or because they're in your timeline every day. And everyone wants to be friends with these celebrities. And so what he does, and I've seen Richard Herring doing this as well recently, if there is something that's sent to him that is critical and it's something that he can use for comedy purposes, he will retweet it but redact the username, so that it doesn't get sent out to his followers, and then they have no one to attack, which I think is a really classy way of doing it. Otherwise, he'll have – I've looked on his timeline before, and I've seen him have just like one-on-one chats with people who have disagreed with him. He's reluctant to block them. He tries to engage them in conversation. And then I think I've went back later and noticed that he's deleted the whole thing from his timeline, just in case anyone's hovering over and decides to pick a fight on his behalf, because that's what we're dealing with, is people trying to fight on their behalf and sometimes being shepherded into that by people like Ricky Gervais and Noel Fielding.
Do you think there's any merit in the saying, don't feed the trolls?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that exists because that's the perfect response. You're dealing with people who want an emotional response. So you don't give them one, if they want attention, if they want negative attention, then the worst thing you can do is give them it. And so don't feed the trolls. It's hard. It's difficult not to, but ultimately I think it's a better path is just to block them and move on. Mm-hmm. If that's your preferred method, I like to try and discuss things with people, but I know that it's just impossible at times. Some people don't want a discussion. Some people just want to be angry. And if you're dealing with someone who has millions of followers as well, just it's impossible to deal with all those people. But also, it's impossible to block all the critics, but it's also impossible to punish them all. So why are you doing it? I mean, someone like Ricky Gervais talks about it as being a form of self-defense. He talks about it as being like as if you're in a pub and says that, well, you know, if you're outnumbered in a pub, don't go up and be rude to someone, as if disproportionate response is somehow justified again. And that's I just don't believe it is. I just don't believe it is. I think that, you know, I mean, that was the good thing about Derek was the moment where the woman goes up and challenges two women because they've been talking about her friend and she's outnumbered, and that was the heartwarming moment in it. So it's bizarre that his public persona is so at odds with what he advances in his comedy, you know? It really bugs me that he sort of likens things to pubs and all, as if, you know, because he's really into the whole angle of punishing people. Oh, well, yeah, this is the thing. So he's talking about dealing with trolls as being a kind of self-defense, but self-defense, we don't tolerate self-defense when it becomes sadistic or when it becomes disproportionate. You know, if someone's trying to start a fight with you, you don't aim a tank into their face or take a sword to them. So again, it all comes down to a proportionate response.
Do you think that there are any Twitter users, any celebrity Twitter users, who other celebrities can really look up to? Perhaps Stephen Fry?
In what respect?
In that they handle themselves in such a way that they don't invite bullying and they don't produce too much negative feeling on Twitter.
We know that Stephen Fry has been at the center of something like this before because someone messaged him to say that they found his tweets boring. And then Stephen Fry said, well, he took a real upset to it and flounced off Twitter. And then all his followers found the guy and started tormenting him. He started putting up pictures of him that they'd found on his blog and all this kind of thing. So, but I think Stephen Fry has learned since then. I mean, everyone's responsible for their own actions. So I don't think celebrities have to behave in a certain way that is going to stop people wanting to be critical to them. I think this is just a side effect of the way Twitter works, is that people are going to be critical because they think they have a right to. They think they have a right to bring their criticisms to the people directly because they can. And everyone's trying to negotiate the etiquette for this new sort of emergent form of communication, and everyone has different ways of doing it. I mean, when I put the blog up, I just put Ricky Gervais, No Fielding, and Simon Pegg. I just put their names. I didn't mention them in because I thought to do so would be to deliver my criticisms directly to them, which is rude. But then someone said to me, why didn't you mention them in when you sent that tweet so that they would have a right to reply? So you can see that's a perfect example. He thought I was being rude by not giving them a right to reply. I thought it would have been rude to give them a right to reply. I think it's more polite to talk about someone behind their back, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a great joke by Fran Lebowitz where she's – that even that, you can see the duality with that, because Fran Lebowitz says she talks behind people's back because she wants them to hear it more than once. So you're never safe. There's always – you know, and people will vanity search for stuff as well. Celebrities will vanity search for stuff. And remonstrate with the people that post it. So you're always going to be accountable. Everyone's accountable for what they say, but the people who have more power and more influence have got to be responsible, I think, with what they do and how they respond.
Did you follow what happened to Stephen Moffat, one of the writers of Doctor Who at the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I was interested by that because that was a clear example of what I'm talking about, where certain celebrities will jump on any instance like this to further their own agenda. So I don't know if it's come out why he left so far. I know he gets a lot of abuse on there from Doctor Who fans, but I know that what we were told on the weekend was that he'd left Twitter because his wife said he'd left Twitter because it was too distracting and he needed to do some work. And then Graham Linehan immediately put out the rumor that he'd been bullied off Twitter by people who are, you know, haters and trolls. And so that didn't seem to be the case. That wasn't what we were told. And we're always being told that celebrities have this pressure that they're under, which I agree with. I think it must be awful, absolutely terrible to be a celebrity on Twitter. I know with the small user base I have, I get a lot of abuse just for being, you know, opinionated and stuff. But it's nothing compared to what they would get. And I absolutely empathize with them. I think it's, you know, there's not much you can do about it. But The Stephen Moffat thing was interesting, yeah, but just to see the responses. You know, people are pushing this idea, really, that it's the whole just world fallacy, that any response is merited. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, it's really been bugging me over the last week since I put the blog up that so many people have tried to excuse disproportionate response by saying, well, they were asking for it. You know, that's the just world theory, or the contributory negligence, where it's the same kind of thinking that makes someone's a high court judge say, well, she was wearing a short skirt, so she deserved to be raped. It's ridiculous. It's just we got to have some nuance here. We got to realize that there are faults on both sides.
Do you think people take Twitter too seriously? I mean, with the Stephen Moffat example, he could have just said, well, this is taking up a lot of my time, so I'm going to do something else.
Yes, I think, which is essentially what he did say. I mean, and if he's getting a lot of abuse in his at mentions, perhaps he could just not look at them and just look at the stuff in his timeline, because then that would only be people who follow him that he would see. And perhaps he could sign on to Twitter under an anonymous account if he just wants to use it that way and not be the target of whatever the attention it is that he's getting. But do people take it too seriously? Yeah, I think there's so much discussion about it. But it is fascinating because it's a new way of communicating, and it's revolutionized in certain ways of that we engage with the media. You know, the news now, you'll sort of read about things first on Twitter, and then you go and watch the news and find out what it is you just read about. So I think it's sort of important that we talk about it a lot, especially when there's quite a lot at stake at times with the people in terms of the way they react.
Mm-hmm. Now, Twitter has broken down the barriers between comedian and fan. And do you think that's affected the world of comedy?
That's an interesting question again. I think that it's having an effect. Yes, I think that there's a lot more discourse now about comedy. But my problem with when the media tries to engage with comedy is they only want to talk about whether something should be the target of a joke or not. So it's always about how offensive comedy is when people talk about it. And that's what you get on Twitter now. You get a lot of people who go to stand-up comedy shows and are offended by material and then start tweeting about how offended they are before they even leave the venue. And then they leave and they don't – by the way, this really bugs me as well. They never provide evidence of what it is they're offended about. They never provide – they never like transcribe any of the jokes. And so all we are dealing with is their hurt emotions, and we sympathize with them. But it's – again, it's sort of – I feel sorry for the comedians in that regard, because they're being the target of essentially a smaller lynch mob that's being formed around someone who's been hurt by jokes on a particular topic. So – what you get a lot of times now is just people constantly going on about whether you should be joking about rape or certain other topics. And I think it's healthy, because I think we've always got to discuss everything. I think discussion's very helpful and very healthy. And, you know, I really enjoy a good discussion. But in terms of the effect on comedy, in a wider sense, I'm not sure, other than that people are really having to defend themselves a lot more now, a lot more.
Do you think people want to mistake trolling for sincere criticism?
Or vice versa? Definitely. I think that's exactly what's happening now, is that trolling has become this buzzword that the wider media have caught on to. And it's just the perfect way to discredit anyone is to call them a troll or a hater. And then or to say that they're anonymous. That's apparently a bad thing as well. That's a classic tactic by some of the media, is to say, well, these people, you know, they're not putting their surname up. They're not putting the pictures up. And whereas I'm accountable for everything I say. But that's not true, because we're all very accountable these days because of social media. We can all be tracked. Facebook and Google are stripping our anonymity away constantly. So but I'm very concerned about usage of the terms trolls and haters. I think it's dehumanizing language that is legitimizing this kind of disproportionate response that we see from some comedians, because, oh, well, they're just a troll. They're just a hater, so you don't have to worry about them. And I find that a real struggle. I find that horrible to see. That's the wider problem with Twitter. Here's the thing as well. You know, you're stripping away nuance everywhere. And that's the problem. It's that's the internet now. That's Twitter especially, because you have 140 characters. There's no room for nuance. You go on YouTube, all you can do is press thumbs up or thumbs down. You go on Facebook, all you can do is like something. We're conditioned to have these very polarized binary responses now. Things are either the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. And I don't think that's good for discussion. And I think also what's unique about Twitter, if I want to go to a blog or a forum and make a really angry post about something, I've got to sustain that anger for a while. I've got to go all the way to the laptop and boot it up and load up, you know, my browser and then log in and start typing away, furiously typing away. And then at some point you would hope that your anger would subside during this whole process. With Twitter, that's not the case. I can lift up my phone and I can type out a 140 character message in 20 seconds and it can be furious and it can capture my emotional state at that exact moment. And then I can send it out to all my followers and that's it, gone. Done before I have a time to consider about, before I have a time to think about what I'm saying, before I have a time to calm down. I mean, Twitter is just really brilliant for these kind of emotional responses, these emotional instantaneous responses, and it's a recipe for disaster. That's why I absolutely empathize with the comedians who would do this kind of thing at times. But if they're doing it repeatedly, then that's a big problem. That's a big problem.
Do you think anonymity on Twitter is overall a positive thing or is it a negative thing?
That's a polarizing response. You wanted me to say whether it's just good or just bad. I don't think you can say it's either. I think it's different depending on the context. I think anonymity on the internet in general is good and bad. I think that we had things like the Arab Spring probably, you know, really – well, you know, there are people in countries that are being oppressed and they require anonymity so that they aren't accountable for their words. So for them, it's really, really good. In general, I think it's good to have that anonymity because discussion becomes more unfettered. It's a problem on Twitter because then you have a lot of people. It's a unique service. It's a unique form of communication because there are so many people who are well known that aren't anonymous. And so they're there as a beacon that we can all be drawn to. And so, yeah, but I don't really see that people who are not anonymous are any less nasty. Most of the people I see being retweeted by someone like Ricky Gervais so that his fans punish them have their own name there and they have their pictures in their avatar because that's social networking. It's look at me. Anonymity is, you know, a concept that's sort of fallen by the wayside now. It's sort of irrelevant. Everyone wants to be known. Everyone wants us to know. People put up pictures of their food and the next pint they're going to drink. Like we're little superstars now. We want to be known. We want everyone to know what we're thinking and doing at that point. So anonymity is just another way of discrediting critics, really.
Do you think that Twitter is rather unforgiving?
I think it is a fairly unforgiving medium because it is so gossipy, really, in a way. Everyone knows what's going on. You know, as soon as something starts kicking off, everyone's interested in finding out what's happening. So, yeah, I think it is an unforgiving medium, certainly.
Final question is, why can't everyone just be nice?
I wish we could because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. And we don't know what people are going through in their day-to-day lives. And that goes for the comedians and that goes for the fans. So we got to bear that in mind at all times. But why can't we all just be nice? Because we're human. Because we're human. Mm-hmm. Because we all have challenges that we face from day to day. And, I'm considering all the things I said about Twitter as well as being a medium that is perfect for expressing anger, short-term anger and rage. And all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay. Neil Kennedy from Cooked and Bombs and comedychat.co.uk. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me on the Pod Delusion, Tom.
No problem. This has been Tom Williamson for the Pod Delusion.